How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Getting ready for Christmas. That's what the subject is. I should have started this a month ago, right? Because then you'd be more ready for Christmas. And on Christmas in America, actually, there's a lot of preparation goes into Christmas. And most people start Christmas right after, getting ready for Christmas, right after Thanksgiving. And in fact, it costs a lot of money. And this year, Americans will spend $154 billion getting ready for Christmas. Now, that $154 billion breaks down to the average of $895.86 per person will be spent this year getting ready for Christmas. I think I'm going to be below the average, but nevertheless. In fact, this is kind of a shocking one. $3 billion will be spent on pet Christmas gifts. That means pet jewelry, pet clothes, pet vacations. Can you imagine? And treats for pets. $3 billion will be spent on pets. Now, this is actually kind of scary, you know. I was shocked this week at listening to the news, and I had a chance to do that while I was driving, to hear newscasters admit that many thousands of people are using pets to replace children. And I think this is a tragic situation. Nevertheless, $3 billion spent on Christmas. $24.8 billion, people won't know what to buy, so they're going to buy gift cards and let you go get what you want. Now, if you were going to buy all of the elements in the 12 days of Christmas, it would cost you everything from the pear tree to the drummers. It would cost you $18,920. Now, if you were the true love in the song, and you repeat all the verses, and you bought them 364 items, it would cost you $75,122. And this is a 3.5% increase over last year, by the way, so just so you know. But everybody's caught up getting ready for Christmas. And this is a good thing. Christmas does some amazing things to people. Last evening, we were in Sanford at the Teen Challenge Center. They were holding a graduation there, Judah's stepson, Greg Sisler, was graduating. Remember last year he went there, and this year graduated last night, and it really was good. In fact, I've asked for a copy of the video where he's giving his testimony to the audience. There was a couple hundred there, and it was a great event. But I got to talk to the director after, it was my first time to meet Wayne, and so we had a very lively, interesting exchange. And in fact, they have agreed and asked when I told them about it to have copies of all our video teaching, which they will use in the training center in Sanford. Isn't that good? And so we will this week get busy pulling our whatever 80 subjects that we have so far together to send down there. But I was telling him that my father was the director of Teen Challenge in Toronto, and I worked there for 2 years before going to college. And He's a rehabilitation center, and I remember Christmas was different every year. Now, there were young people in the center who did what a young person should never do. Should never curse. He that curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out into obscure darkness. But these young people were so angry with their parents and bitter and say things against them. And then Christmas time would come. And I watched in amazement as the closer we got to Christmas, guys would do everything they could, cut corners, save money to send mom a gift. Now, isn't that interesting? That as we get close to Christmas, people are changed just by the Christmas atmosphere, the Christ atmosphere. It's great. So they get ready for Christmas. And getting ready for Christmas is rather important. So what I wanted to do, though, is to search the Scriptures and see if the Scriptures give us any inkling, idea, instruction on how to get ready for Christmas. And I found several passages that have to do with that. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to study what we should do from a biblical perspective to get ready for the Advent, for Christ's coming, for the Christ Christmas celebration. So let's look at Scripture. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, I want to go to another passage in the New Testament. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. Every valley, same verse, shall be filled, and every mountain, hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight. The rough places shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Now, in order to understand this passage, it's important to understand a couple of things about the book of Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah is referred to by most to be the Bible within the Bible. There's a parallel of the book of Isaiah to the entire book of the Bible. And let me show a couple things about the parallel. The Bible has 66 books. How many can name the books of the Bible? Six? Susanna, good for you, Susanna. 66 books of the Bible. I won't take you through that. And the book of Isaiah has 66 chapters, the same number of chapters as the Bible has books. It's kind of an interesting phenomenon. What's more interesting is that the Bible's 66 books are divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New. And the Old Testament contains 39 books, ending with the book of Malachi, right? And then it opens up Matthew, and we have 27 books in the New Testament. That's how the 66 books break down. Now, the amazing thing is that in the book of Isaiah, it is divided exactly the same way. That the parallel to the Old Testament takes 39 chapters, the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, and the next 27 chapters are what theologians often refer to as the gospel according to Isaiah. The last 27 chapters are distinctly, look almost in any Bible that has any titles and breaks in it, you will see that the vision takes place at the end of 39 and the beginning of the next 27. Now, what really happens in the book of Isaiah is that the first 39 chapters, like in parallel to the Old Testament, are all about bondage and captivity and wilderness and tough times and the Old Testament. They look forward to a time of freedom, just like the Old Testament looks forward to Calvary. Then something happens in chapter 40, which is the first, watch this now, because this 27 chapters begins at number 40 and goes through 66. And so, in fact, what you will find is that Isaiah chapter 40, which is where we're going to study for a moment, is like an overlay of the first chapters of the Gospels, both of Matthew and Luke. Now, this is not uncommon, because the Bible is such a miraculous book in a lot of ways. For example, John 1, verse 1 is an overlay of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. Genesis 1, 1. In the beginning, God created. And then we got in John, overlay. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So chapter 1 of John and chapter 1 of Genesis have this almost a parallel, identical. So we have this in the book of Isaiah. And in chapter 40, which is the beginning of the new part of the book of Isaiah, parallel to the New Testament, we have the passages that we have just started. So let's take a look at this this situation. Here's how it begins. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith God. Let all the prophets get their message straight. From now on, it's a message of comfort. It's a change in the book of Isaiah that is reflected in this opening verse. A solution is coming. And as you'll see in a moment, a king is coming. That's why we're just a couple of verses away, a couple of breaths away from prepare ye the way of the Lord, make a place for him in the wilderness, a highway for him in the wilderness, because he's coming. So this is about getting ready for his coming. And so the message is comfort ye. What a message from God. It's no incidental fact that the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. That's a New Testament thing. It's a new covenant issue. Comfort ye. Comfort my people. I'm going to show you in a moment. But before I do that, here's something you could study. There are two really important words in the Bible. They are the word, and they're used often in conjunction with others. Here's what they are. As and is. You should look up all the as is passages. Let me explain as is and why it's important. God always has an is for an as. Let me over here. The scales. Let me mention one. As your tribulation, as your sufferings, so your consolation abounds in Christ. As so. For every condition that something is in, that's negative, that's bad, as God has a soul, an equal, that keeps the scale balanced. As your sufferings abound, so your consolation abounds. They are directly proportional. And one of the things that God has always done, He's always had for a condition, a balancing comfort. Now, that's why you don't want to miss both parts. You don't want to just get that, I got the sufferings. You want to make sure that you tap in, receive from Him as your suffering soul. You want to get the soul part. You want to get the balancing. If you are facing a battle, so shall your, as your days, so shall what? Your strength. As so. You want to check through the Bible on all the as so's. And whenever your life fits the as, you want to make sure you find out about the so you can get it from the Lord to receive, because God always has this balancing, positive blessing, so that life does not get unbearable. And so here we are in the opening of this chapter, comfort my people. I mean, it's hard for me to get through these verses, because every phrase here is, I mean, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it warm to have God refer to you this way? There is a people on this planet that are His. He calls them my people. If my people, my people, my people. Wow. Speak comfortably. Speak compassionately to Jerusalem. And cry unto her. Now watch this. The wars are over. A new day is arriving. Her warfare is accomplished. Look at this. What a day this is. Her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then it says, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness. So this is the context now of prepare ye the way of the Lord. And this is the text. So let's get to it. How was Israel to prepare? Here it is. So as Israel, now I want you to get the parallels for me. The preparations that Israel was to do in Isaiah are the same preparations that the John the Baptist called the people to do for the arrival of Jesus. And I say they're the same preparations we should do every year to make sure at the Advent, which is the arrival of Jesus, the celebration of the arrival of Jesus on this planet, the same preparations. So here we go. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Now, let me help you get this straight. This is an analogy. In ancient days, roads were not paved very often. And they wound around obstacles. And they were very crooked. And they went down into deep holes and valleys. And they had to climb up steep hills. And navigating the roads was difficult. So whenever a king was coming, they built a road for the king. And this is what they did. They would, in a desert place where nobody else is, they would make the road for the king. And they would fill the valleys and pull down the hills, just like we do to build roads today. I don't know if they built tunnels. This week I drove through a mile long, 1.1 mile long tunnel on my way north. Can't remember the name of that tunnel now, but So they would raise the valleys, pull down the hills, they would widen the road, and they would make it straight, stop going around obstacles like this, takes so long for the king to get there, and tedious and laborious. And if it's rough, they would make it smooth. This is what they did for the king. And so, and by the way, this is no small feat in the physical world. And it is just as great a feat in the spiritual world. So this is the analogy. This is, so prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And here it is. Every valley shall be exalted. That's what they did. They would fill the valleys and they would pull down the hills, make them low. And the crooked, they would straighten it out so the road was straight and didn't get to go around all the obstacles. And the rough places were made plain. And this is what God says. Because if you will do this, if you will make these preparations, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. And it's because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now let's go back to the parallel passage. In the New Testament, same story. As it is written in the book of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is kind of interesting. You know, this refers to who? John the Baptist. He's just called a voice. Here is a minister who put aside all the stuff that most ministers have. He didn't build for himself a house. He didn't have great clothes. In fact, Scripture says that he wore camel hair. I think I get itchy just thinking about it. I mean, this guy didn't have all the polished things. All he was a voice. He had nothing to distract him from the message. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. And they came all out to see him, as we'll see in a few moments. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare, same message, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain hill shall be brought low, crooked shall be made straight, the rough shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And what is the salvation of God? And who is the salvation of God? And what was John the Baptist doing? Was he not the preparer, the forerunner? Wasn't he the announcer of the coming of the Messiah? And he says, since Messiah's coming, you need to get ready for his arrival. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He's quoting from Isaiah. He says, hey, if Jesus is going to come, if Christ is going to appear, if the Messiah is going to come, then all of you need to get ready for his arrival. I suggest to you that the steps to getting prepared for the arrival of Jesus in John the Baptist's day are the same steps we should have today to get ready for Christmas. Let's get ready for Jesus and the celebration of his arrival. Well, how do you prepare for Christmas then? Here we go. What does it mean? It means to prepare for a new and gracious manifestation of God's presence. Let me tell you something. Do you want to just go through the facts of Christmas and not see the glory? And that's the problem we've got. We have the candles and we have the great decorations and we have them year after year, and you can get bored with the facts of the arrival and not see the glory of it. And what I'm asking God for this year, for each of us, is a new revelation of the glory of Christ's arrival here. And if we're going to see the glory, watch this, let's go back here. All flesh shall see the salvation. That's the Luke passage. The Isaiah passage says everybody shall see the glory of God. Now watch, who is this all flesh? It's all those who prepare the way of the Lord. They're the ones. Everybody who makes these preparations is going to see the glory of God. Wow. That's why I'm kind of cranked up a bit today. Because the potential here, that if we will get prepared for Christmas, if we'll get prepared for the celebration of the Advent, if we'll get prepared for the celebration of Christ's arrival here on earth, the birth in Bethlehem, if we'll get the preparation, then everybody who does the preparation will see the salvation of God and will see the glory of God. So, what do we have to do then? What are these preparations? Number one, first of all, you understand that we do need to prepare. Preparation is necessary. It's not going to happen. We go through the Christmas season routinely unless we prepare for Christmas. Like America is spending $154 billion. Let us spend the time and energy to follow these instructions so that on Christmas Day, the celebration of the advent of God to planet Earth, that we will see glory of his arrival in greater dimension. So, this is the first instruction. To make a way for the Lord. In any analogy, making a way for the King, because he is coming. And so, it's necessary, if he's coming, to be prepared. Second, I want you to see both of them. This is Matthew 3 and Luke 3, the parallel, the overlay of Isaiah 40, verse 4. The voice of one, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And so this preparation is really important. I want us today to consider getting prepared for a week from Monday, a week tomorrow, the celebration of the Advent. Well, what preparations, what do we need to do? What does it mean to prepare? I think you're going to see it clearly in a moment, but let's go to Haggai for a moment. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is what John asked the people to do. In fact, John commanded the people to do. And those who wouldn't, he called them pretty stern names, you generation of vipers. Because you're not willing to get ready for the greatest event in human history, the entrance of God, the arrival of God, the arrival of the Creator into his creation. How do we get ready? How do we prepare? It's wound up in this phrase, consider your ways. Get your ways ready. Prepare your ways. Consider, think about your ways, because this will become the pavement upon which the King will reveal himself and enter your life. Well, the second thing we are given here, back to the same scripture, we're to prepare. And what we're to do is we are to, look at it, make his paths straight. We got to straighten out the crooked paths. No distractions off to the left. No distractions off to the right. Straightforward. Make the paths straight. Get rid of distractions. Don't have obstacles that lead you off, attract you, divert you, take away your focus from the fact that the King is coming. Make your paths straight. Make his path, because the path is for him. So my question then would become today, for myself and for each of us here, is what do we need to straighten up? What wanderings have kept us from centering our attention on the arrival of the King, from preparing his way in the wilderness? And interesting, by the way, that it's in the wilderness. Wilderness is a place where nothing good will grow. Israel had had hundreds of years of wilderness experience, not just the 30, not just the 40 years. Egypt was a wilderness for them. Babylon was captivities were a wilderness for them. John the Baptist day, it was a wilderness. It was a voice in the wilderness. Today, it's a wilderness. As we'll probably see this more clearly in a moment. No wondering, what paths do we need to straighten out? Third thing God asks to do is to fill in the valleys. Fill every valley needs to be filled in order to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, there are two things that I'd like to talk about in this one. Because often in the Scripture, the valley is referring to despair, depression. And if you are in despair or depression, then that valley of despair needs to be filled in. If you're going to see the glory. Because you see, if you're in the valley of despair, I remember one lady testifying, you know, people have mountaintop experiences and valley experiences. Valley is always poetically referred to as downer, I'm in the valley, despair. She said, I'm always having mountaintop experiences. Sometimes I'm on the mountain, sometimes the mountain's on me, but I'm always having mountaintop experiences, you know. But if you are in despair, if you're in depression, and you want to prepare a way for the Lord, then that valley needs to be raised. You need to get rid of that. You need to wipe it out. You need to fill in that thing and prepare the way of the Lord, or your despair will override the arrival of the King. Raise the valley. Well, we could talk about the depths of depravity, the depths of degradation. That could be a valley. And so, if there are sins or degradations in our life, it's time to fill them up. You say, well, how am I going to fill them up? Answer. Remember the as is? You talk about how much sin? Well, over on the is side, every provision has been made for you to raise the valley, to get rid of degradation, to get rid of despair, and to get rid of any degeneration, of any failure, of any fault, of any sin, of any group of sins. Raise the valley. Fill the valleys. And then the Scripture says every mountain and hill needs to be brought low as part of the preparation. We're going to pave the way for the arrival of the Lord. We not only want to raise the valleys, but you're going to have to pull down some mountains. Ego, pride will prevent you from seeing the glory of the Lord. They are high things. They are exalted. The exalted ego, the exalted, which is what pride is all about, the exaltation of self, needs to be brought low. Isn't it interesting that the Lord and the angels appeared to the shepherds lowly? Isn't it interesting that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble? So in preparing for Christmas, let's make sure that we prepare. Let's sure we straighten out the paths. No distortions of truth. Let's raise the valleys. Let's fill them in. Fill the valleys in. No despair. No degradation. And let's bring down the mountains. Let's bring down the mountain of pride. And then, oh, by the way, let's go back here. Just you don't want to just bring down the mountain. You want to bring down the hills too. You see, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. I spend some more time. I mentioned the ego and I mentioned pride. But you know something? The occupation in our thinking of persons, places, or things. The preoccupation. In other words, it is possible to have everything from a thing that exalts itself, that becomes so important. And isn't that really what the great danger of Christmas is? Is that the gifts become so important and take up so much of our time. They are like a mountain that needs to be brought low. We cannot allow the preoccupation. And not just the mountains, but to bring down the hills. Stuff that competes with our thoughts and our contemplation being on the real meaning about the arrival of the King needs to be lowered. It's amazing to me how often I face this, and this is, I guess you'd call this a confession, how often things in my life keep vying for higher positions, for more attention, for more mental focus, for more emotional things. This stuff, it's why John finished the book with these words. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Because an idol is simply something that got too important, it began to be idolized. That's how it becomes an idol. And it takes over. Instead of Jesus running our lives, instead of the Word of God being predominant, all this stuff vies for the God position. The idols take over. And so what we want to do is we want to bring down every mountain and every hill. If you know of something that's just beginning to get too important before it's turned into a mountain, pull it down. So, preparation, fill in the valleys, bring down the mountains, and then straighten the crooked. Straighten the crooked. What's ever wrong, make it right. Whatever is untrue, make it true. No distortions of truth. No crookedness. Allow nothing crooked, dishonest. Allow no perverse. Straighten out the crooked things. And in the terms of modern day, be straight. Be straight. Straighten out the crooked. And then make the rough ways smooth. Rough ways shall be made smooth. If we will prepare these ways, we'll see the salvation of God. Now, what has this got to do with? Well, in the analogy, if something was broken, the ground was broken, See, not only did you raise the valley and bring down the mountains and the hills and stop going around all the obstacles, but make a way straight for the Lord. But if that road, the final touches on building this road for the Lord, final touches of preparation, is you got the road now. The valleys are lifted, the mountains are down, the crooked is made straight, but the road is still rough. There is stuff that's not sin, but it makes life rough. You can have rough in the home. Things are just not running smooth. So part of the preparation is whatever is rough to get it smoothed over. Raise the valleys, lower the mountains, make the crooked straight, smooth the rough. Now, there's one more thing that if we will prepare, we will get the end result. And we go to the New Testament passage, and to make sure that the Lord prepared for the arrival of the Lord, John required them to repent and to confess their sins. So in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. And this is what he was saying. Repent, because the kingdom of heaven's hand, that this is about to happen. The Messiah is about to show up. He didn't tell them about the shepherds and the wise men, but he told them that the Savior was about to, there's something coming after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to undo. There's someone coming after me who will not baptize with water, but he'll baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's someone coming after me who is so important that for this reason, I must decrease so he can increase. And there's this John the Baptist trying to get people ready for the arrival of Jesus on the planet. So this is what he says. Repent, the kingdom is at hand. And then, look at this, it goes right into this passage about preparing the way of the Lord. And then it says, this same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins. I mean, I can't imagine this guy. I mean, he ate insects. I can't imagine he carried a toothbrush with him. I mean, this guy is a wild looking. He got none of the fineries. He even said, those who wear the soft clothes, they belong in the king's palace, but not me. He's out here in the wilderness. He's got nothing that most ministers have. And I'm sure he had things most ministers don't have. Bad breath. Insects. I mean, can you imagine walking up to John the Baptist and the legs of a grasshopper sticking out through his teeth or something? You know, like, I mean, he's a wild guy. I wish we could get a real good word picture of. I wish we had a good picture of John the Baptist. A good picture. Even, you know, James and John, what were they? What was their nickname? The Sons of Thunder. I mean, they were the local hoodlums of their day. I mean, they probably rode camels up and down the streets at full tilt with racing stripes down the side of the camels, you know, and they wore leather coats down to their ankles or something. I mean, they were the Sons of Thunder. When they got converted, everybody took notice. Peter, he was always picking fights. He was the first guy in. He's like the Irishman who came across the fight in the street and he says, is this a private fight or can anybody join in? Like, that's the kind of guy he was until Jesus got a hold of him. Well, here's this John the Baptist now. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. I mean, can you see him? A club in one hand and a honey bucket in the other. And the people went out to him. Look at not everybody in Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. And I want to tell you, why they went out to see John the Baptist. It wasn't because of the grasshoppers. It was because he was described as a reed shaken in the wind whenever he preached. It wasn't smooth. Wasn't articulate. He was gruff. He looked gruff. But he was a voice. And it was all in his voice. And like a reed shaken in the wind when that guy got to preaching. The rock smoked. Conviction fell. The king shows up, who's married to his brother's wife. Now, most preachers, when the king shows up, would do, let's just forget the past and be nice to the king. This guy, John the Baptist, didn't have a political bone in his body. And in front of the crowds, if the king's there, he's going to listen to the voice. And the voice is going to shake like a reed in the wind. And the voice is going to tell him the truth, that the king needs to repent. And they all came out to hear him preach. And masses of them were baptized in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Well, the question is, what will happen to you this year? What will happen to us? What will happen to me this year? If we will prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Fill the valleys. Bring down the mountains and the hills. Everything that's crooked, straighten out. Everything that's rough, we smooth up. And every sin we confess and repent from. If we will do this kind of preparation, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And what I really want this Christmas, and I want it for you as well as for me, is to see in a fresh way glory of the Lord. We all have got the facts of Christmas. We know all the symbols. Next Sunday morning, we'll have a candlelight gathering here. And we can go through all the routines. And, you know, I just love the decor. I mean, I'm so grateful for all the work you all did. Look, I mean, don't these chandeliers look like crowns? And to walk up to the front or to come in the front door and see the manger scene. And all of these are the facts. My prayer, however, is that we will see the glory of it. That we'll be so overpowered, overawed, overcome by the glory. This is beyond the facts of Christmas. And the scripture is plain that all those who will prepare the way of the Lord and make a way for him in the wilderness, who will lift the valleys and pull down the mountains and straighten the crooked ways and smooth over that which is rough and repent and confess our sins, we will be ready for the arrival Messiah. We will be ready like the shepherds like the wise men. We will be ready a week from tomorrow to see the glory of the Lord revealed to you personally. All flesh that prepares shall see the salvation of God. I think this is how to get ready for Christmas. And I offer it to you today from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, which is the first chapter of the New Testament section in the book of Isaiah. And from Matthew 3 and Luke 3, the overlay of Isaiah 40. And all of those on this annual celebration become the overlay on how to prepare for Christmas celebration of Christ's arrival.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.